Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Intuitive Stardust. I am so excited about today's topic. Today, I want to talk to you about card decks. So, in honor of the topic, I actually have drawn three cards for us from three different types of decks that I'm going to talk to you about today. The first card is from an affirmation deck. It's by Dreamy Moons. She's a beautiful, talented, artistic person, human in Australia. And the affirmation today is, I let go of all that no longer serves me. Which sounds simple sometimes, but it's sometimes much more complex than that. So that is our affirmation for today. Then I drew us a card from the Enchanted Map Oracle deck. And this Oracle deck is unique, which I'll talk about later. But in this Oracle deck, there's actually an upright and reversed meaning of the card. We got number 46, coming apart in the reverse. So the reverse meaning is, a situation is unraveling and your best plans are leading you into a tricky maze. Your challenge is to separate out the elements of this puzzle to get a better perspective on what happened. You may have lingered too long in a place where you didn't belong anymore, seduced by a temporary solution. As you untangle yourself, it's important to maintain a sense of humor. Don't fret. You will learn something valuable that you'll need later when faced with a more dangerous situation. Breathe and know that you are loved. It's an interesting combination. And then I also drew us a card from the Lightseer's Tarot. And we got the Seven of Swords in the upright. So it could be deception or betrayal, taking only what's needed, the universe bearing witness to true intentions, getting away with something, being strategic, being grateful for the resources you have, moving silently and quickly. Traditionally, this card warns us that we must be on the lookout for deception, thievery, and betrayal. While we can sometimes find ourselves the victim of someone else's deceit, it's also a nudge to act in alignment with our highest morality. Be sure you are being honest with yourself about the nature of your reality right now. Sometimes we pretend that everything is okay, or that we are doing the best we can, even when we're not. Sometimes this shows up as recklessness or as avoidance of responsibilities. Take only what's needed and remember that no excuse outweighs your ability to act from a place of love and integrity. You cannot deceive your own heart, and the universe will always bear witness to your truest intentions. For you alone and vulnerable under the light of the full moon, the only thing that matters is the truth. Move forward with the lightness of conscience to guide you. I act from a place of love and morality, and the universe witnesses my honest intentions. Whew. So this card is definitely, you know, based around that idea of you making those choices and doing, you know, quote unquote, doing the right thing. Because if no one else knows, you still know whether you did what was right for you or not. So, without further ado, let me just say, today was one of those days. Today is Monday, Moon Day, which is all about, you know, emotions, feminine energy, that kind of thing. And I was like, So in my masculine energy this morning, and it was good. Like I accomplished a lot of things. It's not a bad thing, but I didn't want to be in it. I wanted to be recording and telling you guys about card decks. So I finally am here with you, and I'm so happy to be here with you and talking about one of the things that's very near and dear to my heart and a very key aspect of my own healing. But I did get a lot done today. I got, it was like scheduling and rearranging schedules and bill paying and organizing and, that kind of stuff, which is good. We all need to have that balance. But I was like, it's moon day and I want to be in the feminine flow and recording my podcast. So I got all of my stuff done and now I'm here. And I feel good. I feel accomplished with the things that I got done earlier, and I am excited to talk about decks. So there's a common misconception, so don't feel bad if this is you. I was talking with one of my OG clients, Kyle. Shout out to Kyle. Hey. Last night, actually, we were having a chat in messages about card decks, and there's a common misconception that Oracle and Tarot are the same, and they're not. Of course, they're decks, and they're used as a form of divination, but there's a lot of differences. So the first type of deck I want to talk about is affirmation deck. Affirmations are like I am statements. So the card that came out for us today, or I statements, I guess, I let go of all that no longer serves me. I have an app. I think maybe I've told you about it before. It's called the I Am app. It's like an affirmation app. There are other ones out there. And it just like pops up on my phone throughout the day, and I can set how often I want it to give me a new affirmation. And it's great because affirmations shift your thought patterns. So if you're having a day where you're like, in that negative loop or in that frustration or that struggle, or if you're having sadness or anger or any of the stuff that doesn't feel good emotion-wise, affirmation decks are great for that because you can just, be like, all right, I just need to just show me what I need to hear, and then your card will come out and it can kind of help your mind shift into the feel good state as opposed to the stuff that's hard. So affirmations are great in that sense. They're great for spreading love and joy and that type of stuff. Oracle decks are, oh my gosh, there's so many different kinds. You have there's some, some Oracle decks will have 44 cards. Some will have 52 cards. Some will have, there's not like a standard amount of cards for an Oracle deck. And they have usually like kind of like an overall theme. I have, there's some like the Moonology deck or the Starseed deck have much more of like a, astrology type theme to them, or at least dealing with the universe and other planets and stars and those kinds of things. And then you also have the more detailed astrology decks that have a lot more of astrology, in them, like the houses and the planets and special, portals and stuff like that. I have a couple of those. I have the Black Moon Astrology deck, and I also have the Star Codes Astrology deck, and they have, the 12 different zodiac signs, and they have the different planets, and different aspects in astrology, like, the grand trine. I know that if you're not familiar with astrology, it sounds like I'm speaking another language. If you are familiar with astrology, then maybe you're with me, or maybe you just dabble in astrology and just know, the houses. It's a really big topic. It's super interesting, super cool, and I definitely am going to at some point talk about astrology. But yeah, so you have those types of oracle decks. I have the, there's types of oracle decks that have more of like a shaman type energy. I have the shaman's dream oracle, and then the mystic shaman. There's the wild unknown oracle deck, and that is more of like an archetype type deck. There's an, there are archangel decks. I have a deck that's, the Wisdom of Avalon, which is kind of like mystical and magical, and deals with a lot more of like the, well, like the druid type magic. And then you have other like standalone companies, like I mentioned how, Dreamy Moons makes card decks and things like that. You have Threads of Fate, and they are, I have a Threads of Fate Oracle deck, and I also have a Threads of Fate Tarot deck. So, in other words, I have two crystal decks. I have a mermaid oracle deck. There are lots of different types of oracle decks, and they have, a lot of creative freedom within the overall theme, within the artwork, and within the channeled messages in the guidebooks. So, oracle cards are a really great place for someone who wants to start, in my opinion. This is all with my own personal experience. If you start with tarot, like, I hat's off to you. My hat is off to you because tarot is very complex. But for me personally, I started with I think my first yes my first deck was an oracle deck, and then I did get my affirmation deck shortly after that. And I just love how oracle decks sort of embody their own energy, and it's so diverse. And then you have your, oh, and within Oracle too, like sometimes they're numbered, sometimes the cards are numbered, like the one that I drew today was number 46. Other times they're not numbered. So there's just a lot of creative freedom within Oracle decks and affirmation decks, for that matter too. So with tarot is it has a very long history, very, very long worldwide history. If you are curious about tarot, I encourage you to go and read. There's websites galore out there, whichever one it is that you're pulled to, I is usually, the one that's best for you. There are books. There, I have this really cool tarot book. It's based on the Rider-Waite, which is technically like the modern version of tarot. It was established, I believe, in 1909, but there's so much more history before that too when it comes to tarot. So the basic breakdown of a tarot deck is there are 78 cards. 22 of those are the major arcana, 56 are the minor arcana. And within the minor, you have 14 swords, 14 cups, 14 wands, 14 pentacles. I think I, got the order wrong there as far as the books go, but there's no right or wrong here. The major arcana are, they kind of have, they hold more weight in a reading, and they have a little bit more overall power in the message. So, within, the major arcana, you also have the certain major arcana cards that encompass the signs of the zodiac. So you have, Aries is the Emperor, Taurus is the Hierophant, Gemini the Lovers, Cancer the Chariot, Leo Strength, Virgo, the Hermit, Libra, Justice, Scorpio, Death, Sagittarius, Temperance, Capricorn, the Devil, Aquarius, the Star, Pisces, the Moon. But that's only 12 of the 22. You will have, more major arcana than just that. But those are like, those cards sort of encompass also that zodiac sign and the energies of that particular sign. In general, you have, so cups are going to be represented. You also have the elements within. So cups are represented by the element water, which is all about emotions, love, feelings, relationships, etc. The swords energy is the element of air. So you have, the mind, the mental, the thoughts, the attitude, the beliefs. With wands is it's the fire energy. So it's like primal spirituality, inspiration, creativity, ambition, expansion. And then pentacles, which encompasses the earth element, which is like the physical world, health, finances, work, that kind of stuff. And so tarot has much more already detailed, established layers of meanings to it, if that makes sense. And I just want to make sure I don't forget anything because there's so much. Oh yeah, tarot is influenced by, it's been influenced by like even ancient Egyptian culture, astrology, like I said, and the four elements. So there's just like rich history around tarot and the different meanings of the cards. That does not replace intention and intuition. Sometimes you'll get a tarot card that will come up that has like a tough energy to it, right? But it doesn't always mean that that's the energy that's intended in the reading. It's very important to look at all the different cards that come out in the reading, whether, and if it's just a one card thing, there's always the checking the bottom of the deck for clarification. And like I said, there's so much out there about tarot. I encourage you, if you're interested, to, to start reading about it and get into it, but just take your time and be patient with yourself because there's so much information and it takes a really long time to integrated. It's kind of like when I was talking about human design, how you can read the knowledge and the information, but then you kind of have to have that also real life experience where you feel the energy of that. And then it sort of like combines. And I feel the same way, about tarot and about learning about tarot is that you definitely want to not get overwhelmed and definitely take your time and do not forget that your intention and your intuition is what's most important, whether you're working with oracle, affirmation cards, or tarot cards. Just don't get lost in the multi-layers and the multi-meanings of tarot that are already out there and established, if that makes sense. For example, when I first got into tarot, I wanted to wait until the right deck spoke to me. And I just wasn't sure which one that was. So I waited until, I would get online and I would look at different, decks and I would read about them and I would be like, oh, that's cool. But nope, that's not it. I don't feel that spark inside. And I do remember seeing the Threads of Fate, the Weaver Tarot. It's the Ascendant Edition. So the cards are black with like these beautiful, the artwork is these beautiful, iridescent pictures. And I remember being drawn to that one at first, but it was sold out. And it was like always sold out, and it was never back in stock. And I was like, okay, so that's not supposed to be my first deck. I'm drawn to it, but it's not supposed to be my first deck. So what's my first deck supposed to be? And that was when I came across the Lightseers Tarot deck. And I absolutely adore this deck. I have this deep connection with it. And it's beautiful. The artwork is beautiful to me. And that's how I knew it was the one. I felt that spark inside when I came across that one. So I used my intuition to choose my first deck, and also paid attention to the signs around me, like the Threads of Fate deck never being in stock. So yeah, I do now own the Threads of Fate Weaver Tarot, the Ascendant Edition, and I am so happy that I do, but I am so happy that the Lightseers Tarot was my first tarot deck. A couple other decks that I have and I'll talk a little bit more in detail about these in a minute. I have the Good Tarot deck by Colette Baron-Reed, and then I also have a Fairy Tarot deck. There's lots of different fairy tarot decks, but this particular one, it's by Radley Valentine. That's a unique name. I was like, oh gosh, am I gonna butcher this? No, I think I got it. with tarot, like I said, or maybe I didn't say this, but there are upright meanings and reversed meanings. Just because a card comes up in reverse does not mean that it has the opposite energy. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it can, but it's not, like I said, there's no substitute for your intention and your intuition in when you're reading these cards and using them as a tool, as a healing tool. So when someone, if you've ever had someone read for you, whether it's Oracle or Tarot, they read the energies of the cards. They feel into the energies of the cards, and then they tell you what it is that they're feeling. And when you hear what they're saying, then you have to decide, does that resonate with me or does it not? If it doesn't, that's okay. Sometimes I've had readings done I've done readings for others where maybe it didn't resonate right away, and then you go back later and you're like, oh, I get it. Yep. That does make sense. And sometimes it doesn't. And that's what's, you know, the beauty of this is that you only ever, when you're working with any of these kinds of tools, only ever take what resonates with you and leave the rest. Don't get stuck on a certain energy. The point behind all of this is for healing, for the greatest good, and, you know, all the good stuff. It's not to, you know how I feel about fear. It's not to invoke fear. It's not to stress you out or make you obsess over something. It's like a healing guidance tool, because really the power is within you. So when you're dealing with cards with tarot, I personally, my preference when I am pulling tarot cards, I like to flip my cards in like a horizontal fashion so that way I know, and I'm not second guessing, I know whether it's coming up in the upright or the reverse. And I like to flip my cards horizontally in front of me and whatever they are as I am looking at them, because I am the one who is reading, that's how I read them for who I'm reading for. if that makes sense. And then, you have to look a lot of times. It's like I mostly do 3-card readings. So, you want to look at the overall theme in a reading as well. So a fun story about my journey. I was getting to the point where I had been working with some Oracle decks for a while. And I wanted to start practicing reading for other people. So I have my dear friend, Honey, and we were talking about it, and she was getting to the point where she really wanted to start doing tarot readings for other people. And so it just so happened that we were able to practice on each other in, a safe container, just her and I, with zero judgment and the love and trust of friendship. So it was wonderful and amazing, and I think back on that very fondly. Honey did an entire Celtic Cross tarot spread for me, and it was amazing. It was beautiful and amazing, but the best part of the whole thing was watching her do the reading, watching her use her intuition and tap into the energies and feel what those energies were for me specifically. And it was beautiful and wonderful. Honey is so amazing. She has a and I'll put it in the notes of the episode. She has a tarot page on Instagram. It's at Honey Drops Tarot. And she will do free readings, I believe, on Sundays. On like a live. She'll do, free live readings. And then she also has a business doing readings for others. Everything from, a 3-card spread all the way up to like the big massive things like a Celtic cross. And there are so many different spreads that you can use with any card decks, but tarot has a lot of already established type spreads. So for example, I'll just tell you in my guidebook for the Light Seers, there's Light of the Day Draw, which is just 1 card. Light and Shadow Spread, which is 2 cards. Then you have Light Worker Illumination Spread, which is 3 cards. And that is, card number 1 is Grounding. And card number 2 would be Shadow Seer. And card number 3 would be Illumination. So there's so many different ways that you can use tarot cards and the different spreads that you can use. There's a Calling in Love spread, which is a 4-card spread. And then there's a Soul Joy spread, which would also be another 3-card spread. So you can look up any different types of tarot spreads. They always say, when you get a tarot deck that you should do a job interview spread. And so each placement of the card is asking questions like, what are you here to show me or tell me, and on and on and on, as though you're interviewing the deck, so that you kind of have an idea of what your journey is going to be like with that deck, or at least for now. And then you can go back and you can do it again. That's the beauty. Because as we change and we evolve, we can go back and do the same things and find different answers because we're in a different place. Let's see here. There's so much. And I was trying to just touch on the basics for you to help you understand. Oh, so my story with Honey. Yeah, that's right. So I'm so excited. I got sidetracked. So I did a 3-card Oracle spread for Honey, and It was scary. It was scary to read for someone else because you have, your inner critic coming in and saying, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. Trying to protect you from, being made fun of or ridicule or, any of those things. And I was just like, no, thank you for showing up, but this is my friend. This is a safe container. And if I'm gonna be able to read cards for other people, then I should be able to read cards for my dear friend. So I did, and it was so thrilling. It's so thrilling to, have your inner critic come in like that and then, kind of like attack you in a way to keep you safe. And then for you to say thank you for keep trying to keep me safe, but I know that I already am safe. So, let me give you some love and let me show you that we can do this. And then you do it and you're just filled with this excitement and this joy, and it's amazing. It's so amazing. So, honey also threw me for a loop and saw something in me that I maybe did not yet see. And she actually challenged me to do a three-card tarot spread for her. Now, when you are working with someone like Honey, who knows like every single meaning of every single card and every single layer, and they are part of like, they're like ingrained in her soul, you're like, whoo, this is intimidating. But I was like, no, this is my friend. This is a safe place, and I'm going to do this. And then she even put some icing on the cake and she said, I don't want you to look at the guidebook. I just want you to use your intuition, and I want you to tell me what you feel the pictures, the energy of the pictures are showing, and what it means to you for me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I did it. And, did I know at that time, the little, the nuances of the card and, what have you? No, I didn't. But I took that risk in that safe place and I went for it, and it was thrilling and amazing and wonderful. So when you're getting started with any kind of deck, it's really important that you do practice on people who create that safe place for you, because what that does is it helps you get over any insecurities and fears you might have around it, and then shows you. It proves to you that you are more than capable. And a lot of times when I draw cards, you guys, I die laughing. Like, the universe is so funny. Just like the, if I have a, if I'm doing like a free card pull or something on my stories and I pull for a friend and I'm like, ha! Like, I know what's going on in their life, and we've talked about this, that, or the other, and then they get this card. Like, okay, I see you. I see you, universe. I get it. But it's fun. It's fun. And I wouldn't get to experience any of that joy and humor and awe and magic if I hadn't, if I had allowed my inner critic to say, yeah, no, maybe you're right. I can't do this. So, if you are being called to work with a deck, work with a deck. You don't have to work with pulling cards for other people until you're ready. And maybe you don't ever pull cards for someone else, and that's okay too, because decks are merely a modality for healing. They're a tool. They're something that we use to help us tap into what's already inside of us. So, I want to go over a couple of ways that I just some things that I do to make sure that the energy of a deck is cleansed and cleared before tapping into someone else's energy. I've read before that, some people sleep with their tarot deck when they get it so that their energy can imprint on the deck. I know a lot of, I've read too that people that work with tarot keep their tarot deck wrapped in a special cloth, and then they use that cloth to lay out when they draw the cards. That isn't necessarily something that I do. There's nothing wrong with it if you choose to do it. That's just not how I do it, and that's okay. I've realized that, I kept getting, drawn in by spirituality my whole life and then sort of like waylaid from it because I would encounter something that I read that said you have to do X, Y, and Z and you can never do X, Y, and Z. And it was kind of like, oh, this is not what I thought it was. For me, these are tools that help with my healing, that aid with me healing others. I always draw a card for someone before I do a Reiki session, whether it's in person or distance, because it kind of gives me and my client an idea of maybe what kind of energy we're dealing with in that session. So just know that if it's something that's pulling you in, that it's pulling you in for a reason. And don't let, if something doesn't resonate with you, don't let it deter you. So I always light a candle before I do readings. I always choose crystals to work with because you know how much I love my crystals. Like for example, today I am working with, like I always do, my blue gold stone when I'm working with any kind of healing, and it helps amplify healing. I'm using my spirit candle. I have my ocean jasper tower that I just got recently that I am in love with because I want the things that I talk about and the healing that I give to have joy in it. And I also want the energy to be grounded through joy. I was pulled to work with my smoky quartz, my talisman, for transmutation of negative energy into positive energy. I have an amethyst tower today, and amethyst, is also an amazing healing stone as well. Then I have my garden quartz sphere for bringing dreams into reality. I have my celestite sphere for connection with angels and guides. And I also have selenite for cleansing and clearing. Oh, and I have one of my new pieces as well. I got a new piece of blue chalcedony. It's really cool. It's like a slab, so it's sort of partially natural and partially polished, for being able to speak clearly and say what needs to be heard in the best way for it to be received. But when I do card readings, I choose those, I choose crystals to work with, whatever I feel is pertinent for the person that I'm drawing for, or if I'm doing free readings on my stories. I always have a candle lit. I love burning incense while I am doing card readings as well. Sometimes I use sage or Palo Santo to clear and cleanse my decks. Sometimes I just use the smoke from the incense. It just depends on what my intuition is calling me towards. I love to use a drop or two of essential oils on my hands, and I like to, smell the oil. Today I am working with wild orange. And then I just take, I feel which deck I'm pulled to. I just feel into the energy of it, like which one's pulling me in. I don't have to know why. And I take that deck, I shuffle it, I cleanse it. I use a sound bowl, whether it's one of my crystal bowls. I also have like a small metal set of sound bowls. I have the grounding bowl, the root chakra bowl. I will use the sound vibrations to clear the deck between readings if I'm doing for multiple people. But it also doesn't have to be complicated. You can use your breath. You set the intention of clearing the energy of the deck and blow on the deck. You can knock on the deck with your fist to use the vibrations of the knocking to clear the deck. As long as your intention is to clear the energy, then before I draw a card, I like to hold the deck at my heart space. I like to take a deep breath. And I like to just tap into the energy of the person. I don't have to know who you are. I can take that deep breath and I can just tap into your energy. What is it that you need to hear the most right now? And what is it that you will be the most receptive to receive? Because, you know, healing doesn't really work if you don't want to hear what comes out. So I always set that intention of hoping for, you know, healing of the greatest good and for it to be able to be received by you, you know, that message to be received by you, that acceptance. So those are some of the things that I do. Like I said, if I'm doing multiple back-to-back readings, I will use, you know, sacred smoke as well as sound. Sometimes I'll be in the middle of doing multiple readings and then all of a sudden I'll just feel the urge of that, oh, I need to blow on the deck this time. And I just go with it because that's my intuition. And I don't stifle it. I trust it. And it does not let me down. It never lets me down. I know, you know, there have been some times where I have done readings for friends and they've been like, well, wait, I don't know what that means. And, you know, I'll go back through and I'll look at it and we'll talk through it. And that's good because that dialogue is open. I do want to tell you, too, with the tarot card that I pulled for us today, the Seven of Swords in the upright, the imagery in this card is beautiful. There is a man, it looks like a man, in a hoodie holding a knife or, you know, aka sword, and sort of like crouching down, almost like a sneaking type posture, and it's nighttime. And the full moon is in the sky, and the rays of the moon are coming down. And then he has on a backpack that has feathers in it. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4 feathers coming out of, like, there's 2 in the backpack, 2 kind of coming out of the backpack that sort of, you know, describes that quiet motion as the feathers fall. And then there are 3 crows. One is sitting on the ground, one is on the ground beside it cawing, and then one is really like almost in the front, the foreground of the card in a nest cawing. So it has this like energy of sneakiness and alarm, if that makes sense, just by looking at the picture. And, you know, then when you go and read in the guidebook, it talks about, you know, deception or betrayal, you know, being strategic, moving silently and quickly, and that, you know, sort of that energy of, okay, I have to move silently and quickly so that I'm, you know, the alarms are not set off. And so just by looking at that picture, the energy of the card comes through. And that's why your intuition and your intention is so important when working with card decks. And trust yourself. Trust yourself. If a deck is something that you really would like to work with, then do it. Take that step. I have, you know, Hay House has sales a lot of times. They run them often where they'll do 50% off on either all their decks or most of their decks. I have a lot of Hay House decks that I have gotten through those sales, and that's, you know, ordering them online. I have two decks that I got on Amazon Prime because I knew I needed those decks and I could not find them anywhere else. I have my Sacred Rebels deck, Oracle deck, and I have my Black Moon Astrology deck. Those were the only places I could find them at the time. I've been, you know, gifted decks before through Amazon. I have purchased decks through healers. I have been gifted decks through healers that, you know, hand them and they don't resonate with them anymore. I have gifted decks of my own to other healers that didn't resonate with me. Just follow yourself, trust yourself. And if you're pulled to it, then check it out. Hay House also, a lot of times, I love ordering on there only because even if they don't have a 50% off sale, they maybe have like a 30% off or a 40% off sale. And if you spend $25 or more, the shipping is free. It comes really fast. And I know if you're like me and you order something, you want it to be here now because you can't wait to work with it. You can't wait to get your hands on it. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the gist of it. So, you know, trust yourself, be patient, listen to your intuition, set your intention, and just be patient as you start learning, especially if you're going to learn something like tarot that is very complex and layered as far as the energies go. And I just want to make sure that I'm not forgetting anything else because I get so excited and I get ahead of myself. Yeah, I think that's it. Don't get overwhelmed. Take it one step at a time. There are also, you know, you can use those different card spreads for oracle decks or affirmation decks too. Find what lights you up. You know, there are people who will pull a card for themselves, whatever type of deck, daily. That's their practice in the morning. They get up and they pull a card for themselves. And then, you know, they have like really neat little like altar space card holders where you can put one or three cards up for the day or for the week or for the month. Pick whatever it is that works for you. And start practicing that, because if you're drawn to that, there's a reason. And if you follow that energy, that's what's going to light you up inside. And that's what's going to bring healing to your life. If you have, of course, any questions, please reach out on Instagram at intuitive_stardust. And I hope that this was helpful. In sort of kind of differentiating a little bit between the different types of decks there are out there. And I am so excited to hear if you decide if like listening to this episode is the thing that made you decide, yeah, I'm going to buy that deck that I've been eyeing up. I want to know about it. Send me a picture. Let me know, because I get so excited. I get excited for people when they start doing what lights them up inside. And if it's something similar to what lights me up inside, then I can be like, ah, I see you. Yay. So thank you so much for listening. I talked a lot more than what I anticipated this time. This episode's going to be a little bit longer, but I think that was needed because I did cover a lot of different topics. And yeah, remember, all of these things are just tools. They are tools to help aid in healing, and they are never to incite fear or worry. So just keep that in mind and have a beautiful rest of your day. I did also want to add that the good tarot deck that I have and the fairy tarot deck that I have, they do not have reversed meanings. So there are some tarot decks out there that only have an upright meaning that you can work with. And the good tarot is a really neat deck. It is a deck where the energies of tarot are combined with like positive reinforcement and psychology. So there are also affirmations associated with the cards, which is a really cool like combo type deck. I also did want to add as well that there are some oracle decks that have upright and reverse meanings. For the most part, they're just one meaning, just an upright meaning. So it just depends on the deck. And I did also want to add to, if you are ever reading for another human, make sure that you have their consent to tap into their energy. Each person's energy is their own, and it is it's sacred. You wouldn't want somebody just like tapping into you randomly throughout the day. I have friends, you know, where we have like this standing order where if we feel pulled to draw a card for them anytime, we can do it without asking. But you know, just make sure that you have consent to be meddling in someone else's, you know, energetic space. It's not really meddling, I'm kidding. but anyways, thank you so much for listening to my episode about card decks.